Welcome back, everybody, to First Ring Daily. It is Wednesday, August 8th. Oh, tomorrow's my brother's birthday.
How exciting.
It is. It's also the day they dropped the bomb on Japan.
Hiroshima?
Yep. That's how I remember my brother's birthday. Paul, we're going to go a little out of order here on the show notes because this is a very important topic. Do you know who this is behind me?
I do not.
That is Sir Isaac Newton.
Mm-hmm.
He is dead.
I see where this is going.
Yep, he is dead. And so yep. Is my favorite email client ever. I mean, look, this guy's...
He's dead, yeah. He's dead.
This is terrible. I loved, still love Newton Mail, and I was happily paying $50 a year for it. Then they jacked the price up to $100 a year. And I guess they realize that people aren't going to pay that. It's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. And now I have to go back to Outlook on my phone, which isn't terrible, although it has a stupid calendar integration, which is annoying. The problem is the desktop. I have no idea what to use because I'm using the Mail app, which, mm-hmm. you know, after it's been like 14 months since I've used it, and I'm happy to report that settings do not sync across devices, which yep. is highly annoying. Which is what actually pushed me to Newton. I think that's why I started paying, is that I could set it up once, could log in on any machine, and then it yep. just worked. It was magic.
What is this? Like our work email stuff? Like yeah. WW, whatever?
Yeah.
I would just use the Gmail or the Inbox web app personally. Yeah,
the problem is my personal account is an Outlook. Although yeah. 90% of, more than that, probably 98.5% of things that hit that are just garbage anyways. I don't even have notifications on. I just check it every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could forward all your... that's what I do. I forward all my email to my one account.
I need to look into this. But I looked at it briefly and it wasn't...
Yeah.
It's not great. It's not as good as Newton. It kind of looks like Newton to some extent. Maybe I'll have to force myself to get used to it.
Yep. Ironically... because I really don't like the app that much. I have been using the Windows Mail app in Windows 10 on this trip. And the primary issue I have with the app is the scaling is way off. Like, mm-hmm. and it's not really very configurable. You especially cannot configure the Zoom within email messages. I know you can pinch and zoom it or whatever, but it doesn't respect the width of the window. So it's not like a web browser zoom when you zoom the text. It, you know, it doesn't make the text expand past the edges of the windows. It just, you know, it just works. And Mail does not work that way, and I don't like that. But on a small screen, like the laptop screen that mm-hmm. I'm using, it's okay. Some of the text is a little small. It's fine. But on my big desktop display, it's a joke. I mean, it looks like something yeah. Fisher-Price would have hammered out in a weekend.
Yep. So if you're using Newton, it's going to die sometime in early September unless they find a last-minute reprieve. But based on their announcement, it sounds like they weren't making money and they couldn't yeah. sustain it. And
yeah, there's so many free offerings. That's the problem.
It really is. But for those power users, it was great. And yep.
Are we going to have a moment of silence or how do you want to handle this?
You know, I've been handling it poorly for about 24 hours. Let's just continue that for...
Mehdi wanted to use Brad's original response to this news as his headline for the story. And I thought that was a little too much. It was basically a four-letter word that was stretched out to about 16 letters.
Started with an F.
Yep, and it ended with about 11 Ks. So anyway, he's like, well, I'll put it in the article. And so he did. And then Brad looked at it and he's like, I don't know if this should be in there.
I understand the humor value, but not everyone is on the same level. Like it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand.
Yeah. It's just, here we are. Paul, this one impacts you a little bit more. Why is Miracast not working there?
Cause it's Miracast. There it is.
Yeah. If you look at this guy, Paul, this is your next $1,000 adventure.
Yes, it is.
This is the true. Google Pixel 3 with notch and chin, by the way, I will point out.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. So, I've complained about this already. There have been leaks of this design previously. This is the nicest one we've seen so far. It's clearly one of the, it's an actual device. I joked about this on Twitter. I don't know if you saw this, but I said the last time I saw a notch that big, it was on the top of Eddie Munster's head. And if you don't get that joke, just Google Eddie Munster and look at the photos. You'll understand what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm not happy about this. When the Android P betas started early this year, and you could put them on your phone if you had a Pixel phone or a couple of the other compatible devices, one of the things they provided, because it was for developers, was a software-based notch so that you could see how the notch would impact your apps, right? And the status bar that's at the top of Android, they've divided the stuff up so that it's always on the sides, hopefully so there's nothing under the notch. But the interesting thing about that is they provide different types of notches. So there's some that are really big and some that are kind of long and skinny and some that are really small, like, the Essentials one's kind of small. And one of the notches was so big, I was like, why would they? It looks like one of those, like a prehistoric buck tooth saber, rabbit thing. And now we know why, because that's what Google's phone's going to look like.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing I keep seeing in this phone, and I'm going to ruin it for a bunch of people, so I apologize in advance. This notch up here, that one. Paul, does that remind you of like the new Google Chrome tabs just inverted?
Oh boy.
Yeah, doesn't it look exactly like that?
Oh boy.
Yeah, I'm sorry in advance.
All I have to say is this camera better take pretty freaking good pictures because I am not happy.
Yeah, it's not hard to screw up an all-screen phone, but Google managed to find a way to make it not look attractive.
If they use the phrase all screen, you're going to hear me screaming from wherever you are.
Well, Paul, I bet it has all screen and all day battery life.
Okay.
So we got that coming. I would imagine, well, what, then usually, are they in October as well?
Yeah, it's supposed to be October 4.
Yeah, so then Apple's keynote should what be in about a month, maybe?
Yeah, sometime in September, usually, right?
It's usually early September,
The
or early
Google
mid, I
stuff,
should say.
last year they announced it, I think on October 4. I think it was the same day, but regardless, I just was looking at this because as you may know, I had to return another phone, and or I will be returning the phone.
Oh, I had no
And
idea.
my, yeah, it's kind of a big thing. I'm surprised I haven't brought it up yet, but it was November 4th was the original date of my order, and that suggests that it took them a month to actually get this stuff out to people. So it may not actually be October when this thing ships, but.
Oh, I remember this now. You ordered it right away, and then they started slowly shipping out, but it took a while.
Yeah, it was better than previous years. I've waited a month in some cases to get a Google phone in the past, like one of the Nexus phones or whatever.
Yeah. Very good. And then which I did not put up on the wall behind me because I ran out of time because my computer was in some weird state of not working, and I had to. I don't know what I was doing, but it's working now, I hope. Anyway, so Magic Leap came out of the woodwork and announced their Magic Leap 1. It is their take on Microsoft's sort of HoloLens thing, and it's interesting. First off, to get the elephant out of the room, it will cost you $2,295 for the Creator's Edition. But that's not all, folks. If you want access to their developer portal and some priority care and everything else that you're probably going to be needing for development, you can tack on another $500 per year to do all this good stuff.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And so this thing has been teased and whatever. And some of the early non-VC invested reviews by normal people, what I was trying to poorly say there is that some of the early venture capitalists who were investing in this were saying this was like the holy grail of AR VR. When normal people got their hands on it, they said it's a lot like HoloLens, the current, not an upcoming one, but the current one. The one advantage is I believe the current field of view on the current HoloLens is about 35 degrees, And this one has a 50-degree field of view, and it also has a 6-core NVIDIA Parker system on a chip, and then Pascal GPU, 8 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage, headset clips onto your belt, the compute part, and a couple hours of battery life tossed in there. But here's the thing, Paul. I can say with almost absolute certainty that the HoloLens next gen has a significantly better field of view than 50 degrees.
Yeah, the first thing that came to my mind, other than the obvious, they should have called it Newton Leap joke, was
Wow.
that just let that one settle in. was I don't know if it was this past year. I guess it must have been. You and I just remember where we were when we were talking about it. But you had heard how they had canceled the second gen HoloLens, and the way I remember it is part of the reason was this thing was not happening anytime soon, and there was no reason to push out a very evolutionary update that wasn't going to really improve things that much. Those are my two big things on Magic Leap. I mean, more of a minor leap, I guess, to use another joke.
And it looks like Microsoft's bet in that capacity is absolutely paying off, because if they stick to their release schedule of let's say early, well, they might show it off potentially later this year, but early 2019 at some point, they're right on the mark, because this is the Creator's Edition. It's again costing $2,300 at a minimum. This is not by any means a mass consumer device in any capacity or even close.
No.
So
No, I mean, but the HoloLens is still $3,000, but you don't have to pay. Well, who knows what you have to do? I don't even know. I don't really remember there being these extra fees associated with HoloLens.
And it wouldn't surprise. Well, I don't know. I wonder if Microsoft would. I mean, they could. It does. I don't think it's going to benefit them at this point. They could walk out today with a press release that says, "Hey, HoloLens now $1,500." I mean, it's they're not. There's no way that they're selling these things in any sort of volume anymore. I mean, it's several years old at this point. It's not a bad piece of hardware. It's just it's been around since what, 2016.
It might benefit from the Surface Hub 2 style announcement where they kind of say, hey, this is what we're working on. It's not coming out till next year. In the meantime, we do have this first gen thing where it's going to be fully supported. We're going to put, backport as many features as we can, basically do what they did with the Hub and then say, oh, by the way, now it's, yeah, like you said, lower the price. It is an established ecosystem. Whatever one thinks of HoloLens, it has benefited from years of improvements and support. So I don't think this Magic Leap thing makes any sense.
So, not to change subjects, but I mean, that's Magic Leap. You can go out and buy one now if you're in the United States. You got to enter your zip code, and then you can fork over a credit card, and they will ship you one, and all that good stuff. Switching gears here before we wrap it up, a little bit more on the Surface Go. So, Paul, I did something crazy that is very, very crazy when you have a device like this. I showed it to some people. These particular people, one of the guys runs an assembly line, another person was a lawyer. And another person worked in the service industry. This was what I was kind of doing Monday and Tuesday. Here's what they said, because I was curious about their thoughts about no keyboard, and all of them said, we don't think it needs a keyboard.
Really?
You know what they said they think it needs to ship with?
Oh,
is the
battery
pen.
life. Oh, really? Really?
It makes a ton of sense once I tell you what I'm about to say, because all of them envisioned this device being walked around. Specifically on an assembly line, if you're walking around, you're not using that keyboard. What you're using is the pen to note that says, hey, X widgets came off of this line. I need to put a 7 in there. I need to increase capacity here. There's a problem here. You don't need a keyboard for that.
I think touch would be better than a pen, frankly,
Well, but yeah, but then the reason why the pen came up is the legal team or people that I was talking to, they all use, I think it's a Lenovo. Or T series business machines. You're just a proper laptop. They're not going to go Surface Pro because they're lawyers. They like to type a whole bunch. But they wanted what they could see themselves using the Go for is putting their contracts on there and having somebody sign it.
Yeah, e-signatures.
Or just physically signing it. And then same for the service industry where a waitress or whatever, somebody is walking around and just inputting content into that device. Almost all of them said they wished it was waterproof, though.
Interesting. I mean, arguably, these are the sort of vertical markets that Microsoft did kind of talk about. I mean, and there's different classes of users that this device does make sense for. You
Yeah.
know, I the surprising, I you know, I don't have one. Obviously, I'm in Europe, and I wonder what's going to happen with that actually. But it's interesting to me that the issue is not the performance for most people; it's just the battery life.
Yeah, which that is, I'm getting 5.5 is something I'd feel comfortable telling people. You can get 6 out of it, but 5.5 is about the mark, somewhere right around there for
Yeah.
just using the device in a normal capacity. So,
Right.
random side question, but you're traveling on Friday, right?
Yes, I am.
So there's probably no podcast Friday. Which is
Yeah,
tomorrow,
it's
which isn't it?
tomorrow's Thursday.
Tomorrow's Thursday, but yeah, I was just thinking about this. I was, damn it, I thought today was
Yeah,
Thursday.
sorry. Yeah, I think the timing, can I bring this up on this computer? No. The timing is such that, yeah, I don't have my calendar here. It's not going to be, I could bring it up here. Let me look.
I was thinking about this today, and I was like, I bet he's going to be traveling, and there's no time
Yeah, the
like the.
flight is not, why is it not accurately in there? Anyway, yes, it's 5:45 p.m. We usually do this at 6 p.m. So, yes, sorry.
Paul will do the podcast sometime between about 15,000 and 25,000 feet.
Well, if my flight is delayed and based on recent history with everybody's flown out of here, it will be. Maybe I could chime in from my phone. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see, but we'll assume that there's going to be no podcast Friday at this point. So,
Okay.
you got anything else for today, Mr. Paul?
I do not. I have to do Windows Weekly today. If you watched last week's show, I found some lights that I will turn on, so this time I won't be a ghost face in the dark. So that'll be fun.
Moving on up in the world.
Yeah, not much else is going on. I'm starting to look at Android P features, whatever. What about you?
Just meetings, I think. Nothing exciting,
Yeah,
even in the slightest
sorry.
capacity. Although I will tell you, I did ping a couple people to see if they would tell me the exact field of view for HoloLens next, but I don't think they're going to tell me. But
Well, just being better than Magic Leap would be really good, right? To me, that's the biggest issue,
It will
because
be.
it is super tunnel vision today.
All right, folks, well, that wraps it up for today. We will catch you right back here tomorrow on First Ring Daily.